Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out a bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad bread, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York City. National Mortgage, Rocket Mortgage. You got to get that Rocket Mortgage on, son. It's with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. All my friend that come around, fight to fight the party up. Rants on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's in downer. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should you be shake out? Who? Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. That's the number to get on the bench. Rick Carl will join us this hour at 40 past. Then at 1103 East, 803 West. Steve Ashburner, NBA.com, talking pro rack, trade deadline. 1140 East, 840 West. Bob Nightingale, our buddy from the USA Today, national baseball writer. On the passing of Frank Robinson, a legend, and then obviously pitchers and catchers getting set to report. Real Muto finally dealt to the Phillies for top prospects down to Miami. You got to admit, they got some really good players.
They did, and there's a lot going on actually in baseball for still, you know, 10 days out from pitchers and catchers, whether it be Real Muto, the new potential rules. What are Machado and Harper doing? So there's still a lot to be decided.
Yeah, I don't even think it's 10 days. I think it's like seven.
Less than that. I think
it's
that
like 7 days.
Well, the Mariners and the A's are playing in Tokyo to open the season.
Is that right?
In mid-March. So I know that they start camp a little bit earlier than everybody else.
Is that right?
So they're the first two teams to report.
Carver High's in here tonight, ladies. Mafia as well. All right, so what's the deal? I just want to clear this up. I'm going to be here, what, tomorrow and then Monday and Tuesday. Is that correct? And then you guys are going to do it with Zach, right? Zach Gelb will do the show and a little JT on Friday nights. I'm going to be gone.
That schedule is correct.
For, what, about 8 days?
Yes, 8 shows.
I'm going to be out going to federal prison in the Caribbean. I'll be laying in the Caribbean Sea with, you know, chicks and G-strings all over me. 34C. She'll be included in that. Hopefully I'll get out of here. I'm worried about the weather. I'm always worried about the weather systems. Carver High always tells me you can. There's a lot of places you can live. You can make a move if you don't like it. If you can't handle it, make a move.
Other places to live.
There's other places. The weather is better in other places. San Diego, hello. Good evening, San Diego. The trade deadline comes and goes today, and the biggest deals saw Marc Gasol go to the Raptors, Nikola Mirotic to the Bucks, and Markel Fierlafoltz to the Magic. After major deals the last 2 days by the Sixers, Raptors, and Bucks, who's the best in the East now? We'll find out from Steve Ashburner later. I can tell you who I think's the best. I got to tell you, though, I think Gasol is a better player than Valanciunas. I really do. But I think, unless I'm mistaken, I'd be remiss if I'm wrong about this. The thing is, I think Gasol's, you know, getting old to me. I think Valanciunas, you know, he's a monster, and he's a lot younger. And that guy's a big wide body, right? A great pick-and-roll guy. He can flat-out play. Am I wrong? That guy can play. Right, he's a for a big. He can definitely play. I think Gasol's better, but this is a very short term thing. It would appear to me. Am I wrong? Like he's not going to be there long term. This is like try to win the title this year type thing, right? Isn't that what they're doing?
Yeah, it is. He's already 34 years old, so he's not going to be there long. and Valanciunas was only 26. I think that Valanciunas is probably tougher and, like you said, a longer-term solution, but Gasol probably stretches the defense more where he could pull you out and shoot those long jays. I know Valanciunas shot them a little bit, but I think Gasol is a better shooter all around.
I think Gasol is a better player, but, I mean, his days are numbered.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, that's
why one- or two-year thing at best.
That's why they got rid of him. I mean, he's costing them a lot of money, right? And he's old. That's it. The league is getting so much younger and faster. It really is, right? It's become a speed league, a three league, you know, a transition run and gun league. It really has. I mean, these teams are going down and running and gunning and popping and shooting like record numbers of threes. It's crazy, right? So, there you go. I'm watching Indiana now and Iowa. That just popped up on my TV. It was a lot better tonight than last night when we had absolutely no TV for the entire night. I'm also watching, Carver High, you'd be proud of me, the Sharks and Flames from the Ferrell Alberta, the Saddle Dome. I got that going right now in the second period, 14 left.
Big game.
Big win for your Islanders tonight.
Yeah, just keep stacking points. Another win.
Was that the game that Gio and Boomer were calling?
Yes.
On WFA.
Correct.
What do they carry, the Devils?
No, they really don't carry anybody.
Anything.
They have on the radio.com app the rights where they stream every game for Islanders and Devils. Now when the Islanders and Devils play each other or one of them plays the Rangers,
right,
they put it on the Fan. But they do not put every game on.
Was it on there tonight?
Yes. It was on Fan tonight.
Did they do a good job?
I heard the second period. They were okay.
You, giving advice to Giannotti as to how to do it.
Well, he called me yesterday, not for how to do it. He called me to get, like, I was on the phone with him for, like, 20, 30
Skinny
minutes.
On the lines?
Yeah, basically on the Islanders, who, you know, what they've done this year, who that, you know, because they don't do a lot of hockey on the show over there, on the Fans. So.
Here's the one thing I know about calling a hockey game, is that it's real. It's fast. Well, it's very fast, but it's real simple in terms of what you need to know. You need to know who those 6 to 8 lines are, and you need to know who those 3 defensive pairings are. And once you figure out what line is with what D pairing for tonight, just you have to know who's on the ice. So as long as you know who that top line is with that top defensive pairing, and you know they're out there together the whole night, that clicks in your mind as to who you're calling. All you got to worry about is you know who the forwards are. I mean, they got the puck at all times, right, when they break out. So that's how I got. So do you understand, like, when I did it, just so you know, I had never called a game before in my life. So when I went down there and auditioned for that gig to do the Thrashers, they put me in a room and they put me on a TV, and I called a Red Wings Blues game for them, right? I went in front of a giant screen TV in the NBA TV where Barkley does it in that room. I went in that studio, the NBA set, where Ernie and them do it in Shaq. They rolled a TV in, a 50-inch TV, and I sat there and called the game with nobody in the room. They let me just sit there and call the game. And all I said to myself was, I need to know who these lines are. That's all I need to know. Give me the lines. I'll do the rest. I wasn't even at the game, right? I'm calling it on TV. That's a lot harder than being at the game and seeing what's in front of you. I had no paperwork, no nothing. I didn't even know. I had to sit there and look at who the lines were going to be when the game started, right? That's how I did it. They're like, that's how they got me. They were like, caught me off guard. Here, call this game right here. Boom. And I was like, all right, well, I got to know who those lines are. And then once I saw the game start and I figured out who the lines were, I was off and running. And then obviously I got the gig because I'm a badass. So whatever. So they called the game tonight. I know Boomer's a big hockey fan. Is Gio a hockey fan?
Not particularly. He did a lot of hockey when he hosted in Pittsburgh. He was doing the morning show in Pittsburgh for a few years, so he obviously had
talked a lot about the Penguins.
He had to do Penguins all the time, but since he's been back in New York, he hasn't really been focused in on
it. So when they're on the morning show on the Fan, they don't talk hockey?
Not really until the playoffs, no.
Because I know
Boomer likes to slip it in, like if the Rangers have a big win.
Right, but the suit here hates it.
Right. They don't spend a lot of time.
They're adamant against it.
Yeah.
So I try to do it as much as possible on this show. I just want to let you know how little I listen to anyone, just from the standpoint of, like, I give sports fans what they want, don't I? Do I not do that? Do we not provide the mafia with entertainment? Are you not entertained over here?
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
That's what I'm looking for. All right, we got a huge show tonight, honestly. Pelicans end up not trading Anthony Davis. There you go. A lot of wasted airtime we spent on that, didn't we? KD, we are going to do him six ways till Sunday tonight on this show. I got to tell you, I'm going to tear into him like no other. Get the camera ready. Get it all ready. Get the tape machines ready because I'm about done with this guy. I just want to say real quickly here, Ace, you come here to New York, you'll be dead in like 4 months. He'll be in psychiatric ward at Bellevue because the media here will chew and spit him out. He can't even handle the media in San Francisco, and they're soft to begin with. You heard me. They're nothing compared to this. Don't even tell me they are. What do they got, like five guys covering the team? You got about 50 here every day in your face, and they are nasty, right? Am I wrong? So, PharrellOnTheBench.com, once again, hit the biggest game like, you know, Philly last year. I hit New England this year, the spread, the props. I did it all. Now I'm hitting the hoops and hockey games. Get the best picks at PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's cheap. The return is sick. NBA, college rack, NHL, boxing, UFC, daily fantasy. Sign up today, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Tomorrow, episode 142 of Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, iTunes, and Google Play. Subscribe free. It's a half-hour, six-day-a-week sports betting show. We look at the day's action. You can follow us on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So I'm watching this great game. Celtics 124-118 over the Lakers in the fourth with a minute 24 left and a timeout. A really good game, though. It's been back and forth, lead changes, ties, everything else. I just wanted to say I'm watching Indiana play, right? And I went to Indiana, and I was there, and I covered Bob Knight for 5 years every day of my life. And the last game I covered there as a senior was in 87 when they beat Syracuse at the Superdome in the national championship game on Keith Smart's jumper in the corner with no time left, right? It is amazing to me. I just looked, they showed their banners, right? Their five national championships. They remind me of the Miami Canes, you know, their five football titles. But they're similar in that it's been a long time, right, since they've won one. You know what I mean? Like, I thought Miami got shafted, I mean, big time, in the Ohio State National Championship game. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care what anybody says, right? I thought Porter's call in the end zone was atrocious, and I think everybody else did too. It was one of the all-time great ref flops ever. And then Indiana, just like them, do you realize it's been 32 years since they won that title? And all I'm saying is that they got rid of Bob Knight in 2000, and they did the 30 for 30 a few years ago. That was recent. Like, within 5 years, they did that thing. And it might even be within 3 years they did that thing. And all I know is that they got rid of him, and they have never been the same ever again. I mean, literally, it is amazing to me that you could be Indiana basketball. Like, you're talking Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, Indiana. You have to understand it's a blue blood, right? It is absolutely one of the greatest college basketball programs in the history of the game, is it not? And they have sucked, literally, except for what, 2002 when they went to the finals with Maryland and lost?
2002 they lost in the finals to Maryland. That was Mike Davis, and he probably still had a couple of Knights guys.
He had a couple of NBA players on that team. So all I know is, I said to you before, am I wrong? He actually did the best job at Indiana since. That guy, Mike Davis.
He went 115-79.
All right, what are the other ones?
Kelvin Sampson went 43-15.
He cheated.
Right. Tom Crean went 166-135.
Okay,
there
so
a long time.
He was there a long time, but he barely went over 500. What was the? Did they give a percentage for Davis?
592.
59. What's the other one?
Crean 552.
There you go. He cuts a lot of losses.
Crean got him to 1, 2, 3.
Three Sweet 16.
That's it. Nothing beyond the Sweet 16 for Crean. And now Archie Miller, of course, is 29-24.
Who did a better job? The guy that took him to the NCAA Finals and lost, or guy takes him to three Sweet 16s?
Mike Davis.
There you go. And they have never sniffed.
And Sampson was doing, 43-15, pretty good. But then Sampson, of course, got in trouble. So
do you think that, like, because you never see Kentucky North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, you never see any of them have the stretch of failure that Indiana's had, right? I mean, they have stunk it up for years now. They are, to me, I mean, they're like, you know, they're basically Northwestern. No offense to anybody in Chicago, but let's face it. In basketball and football, you don't matter, do you? I mean, even when you win, you don't matter. Is that about right? I mean, they win, right, Fitzgerald's team, and they still don't matter, do they? No one cares about Northwestern football, do they? Except for the guy Wilbon that went there. He's always bragging about Northwestern football, but they never win anything. So whatever. So, but, like, Indiana's like them now. I mean, it is so embarrassing to me that I – honestly, I can't even watch him on TV anymore. I watched him beat Michigan State. I almost had a heart attack. I really did because, I thought they would get whacked in that game without a question. I mean, not even a doubt. At the Breslin Center, they win? I couldn't even believe it. I mean, I'll take that loss every day at the window. I'll make that bet every day, and I'll hit that bet 9 out of 10 times, right, that they'll beat Indiana by 15 at home. And I don't know how they did it because they can't shoot for – you know, I mean, literally, they cannot shoot the ball. I've seen them play 5-10 times this year, and they just can't shoot flat out from anywhere. Three, from the elbow, from the corners, from the wing, from the paint. I mean, they literally, they can't even shoot free throws right. I mean, that's how bad they are. I'm watching them lose tonight, too, right? And I'm sitting here thinking, 32 years since they mattered. I mean, they didn't even matter when they lost to Maryland, did they? They lost. So the last time they mattered was when Bob Knight coached them in 87 when I was there, and he stayed, what, for another 13 years before they fired him? And he never mattered in those 13 years either, did he? But they have sucked since 1987, have they not? I mean, it is unbelievable. Now, didn't they have one with Zeller, a good team with Crean? Sweet 16, that was it. But they won a Big Ten title with Crean.
Yes.
So that I'll give them that, but that's nothing really to hang your hat on.
That doesn't matter anymore. All these teams win Big Ten titles.
Well, it would matter if you won it like now, because right now they're saying crazy stuff like every team in the league is going to make the tournament, and I just don't believe that for 1 minute. They're just—it's amazing to me. And not only that, what's amazing to me is that I was there, and I started in '83 doing my career. So 5 years more, 37 years apparently, I've been doing this straight since 1983. That's when I started doing this. Every day of my life, I've been doing it, right, since then. And radio. And I saw them with their – I was there for their last glory. I was there the last time that they ever did anything or mattered in college basketball. It is so amazing to me that they just are irrelevant now. They're irrelevant. Are they not? They just absolutely do not matter. I mean, it is so unfathomable to me that I am sitting here watching them, and it's been that long. I mean, my entire life has flashed before me. I was there so long ago when they won, and that they don't play anymore for anything ever that matters. Like, they'll go to the Big Ten tournament, right, and get their ass rung up in, like, 1 day. They'll be rung up and out in 1 day because they suck, okay? Let's get real here. And I know this kid, Romeo Langford, everyone says he's a lottery pick. Oh, my God. I'm going to start drinking again. That kid is so unprepared for the NBA. You know what he needs? His mommy to live with him when he goes pro, if he goes pro next year. He needs his mommy to live with him because he's not ready for the NBA. I mean, he can't even win a Big Ten game. I mean, and don't tell me, because they won in East Lansing. That's the only win they had the whole year. I mean, they are not a tournament team, if you ask me. That's amazing to me that people have them as a 10 seed. Are you kidding me? They win one game the whole year and they're in the tournament?
It's a big, good year for the Big Ten. It's a good year. Good year for the Big Ten.
I will give Doster credit, though. He said they got a lot of big games left they could win and still make the tournament. He goes, they play Michigan State twice. They play Michigan. They play Purdue. They play Iowa. And I'm like, they're not winning any of those games. Then the first game, they went out and won.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped, like in a bottle.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Rajon Rondo with a game winner at the buzzer in Boston, his old home, to beat the Celtics. Lakers win it 129-128. A great finish, a wild finish. Ingram went in for a reverse layup. Horford blocked it. It got loose, tipped around a couple times. Tatum even hit it, and it got free. Rondo snagged it in the air on the basically on the elbow and fired off a shot in the air, all net at the buzzer. Boom, game over, Lakers win. That was that. And he just let him know, you remember me? There you go, Boston. Enjoy that tonight. Rick Haro is back in Florida after traveling the globe extensively. He was at the Super Bowl. He's been everywhere. I'm a little surprised he's not at Pebble Beach this week.
Hey, I'd have to go west after going east and being in west. You know, I was in San Jose for the All-Star game, remember, and right. Then went east. And I'd rather watch Pebble Beach on TV than I'm going to the NBA All-Star game
Liar.
Next week. So it's like I got to have one weekend where I, you know, do a little bit of tennis and do a little bit of other stuff, right?
So I went to Vegas for the Pacquiao fight. Then I flew back to New York. I did 5 shows in New York. Then I jumped on a plane at 5 in the morning, went back to Vegas and was there for 8 days, then took a 6A back to New York. So, I mean, all your candy-ass stories about too much east-west, I don't know if I can handle it.
No, you can't, but this is the first time you have the standing to make that argument. Usually your life is soft and cushy. All right, so you know, got a little bit of hard time. It's about time, man.
I'm a little surprised that you haven't invited me down to go to any golf outings or hockey games.
Wait, I don't invite. You invite yourself. You find a time and you come on down. It's the weather, by the way, was 84 today and not one cloud. So get your butt down.
Okay, so I think that's really nice and everything. I just wanted to let you know that next week I'm flying over you and further south to the Lesser Antilles. Down to the Caribbean.
Wow, that's got the not Venezuela. You're not going to Venezuela.
No, I'm going to. Let's just say I'm going to one of the very expensive islands. I like not refer to where I'm going for safety reasons.
Yeah, for safety reasons. But you're a radio guy. You're the only radio guy that can probably end up in one of those expensive islands. We will hunt you down.
As long as I'm not at the same island at the same week as the schmoozer, I think I'll be fine. I think he's at another expensive island. We're both going down at the same time. We're hoping to not see each other. So the Patriots met a milestone by winning their 6th title. The NFL opened the doors at the NFL 100 of the Super Bowl. That was an incredible commercial that they did.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, the one thing I took away, a lot of things you could think about a week after the Super Bowl, but we're into the next season already. They didn't even wait till the season was over to launch the 100th anniversary season. And an incredible 2.5-minute ad, not only did it cost the normal rack rate of $3.5 million for 30 seconds, but how about all the folks in that, Montana and Rice and Franco Harris and Peyton Manning and Brady and Baker Mayfield? And this is something, obviously, that only the NFL could put together. 19 Hall of Famers, 53 Super Bowl rings.
So they paid $46 million for the bid to get the Super Bowl in Atlanta. What is Miami going to spend on that bid?
Miami's going to spend a little bit more. Atlanta's bid covered by 2 businesses donating $20 million, $16 million coming from the hotel motel tax. They get the sales tax off of tickets and use that for dollars as well. So $185 million of economic impact. I think it's more in Miami because they bring the golf clubs after 2 years in the tundra. And everybody, remember, corporate America has been kind of in the refrigerator for 2 years. So Miami, then Tampa, then L.A. So you have 3 kind of Sun Belt Super Bowls to make up for the last 2.
Mavi, maybe next year we'll go to the Super Bowl in Miami.
Yeah, I'm inviting you to that. That's obvious, but that's 360, you know, one days away. You got to do something before that.
Oh, so Mavi wants to know if we're staying at your place and if your wife would adhere to those type of conditions.
Well, with him, maybe. You, I'm not so sure.
I believe that. The NFL, a work stoppage in 2021. I think it'll happen because here's why. In Portuguese, the CBA is very crappy for the players.
Well, yeah, but in Portuguese, the league is making $16 billion. And so, you know, let's see what happens with these guaranteed contracts, by the way, because you don't have to negotiate them. The agents can kind of have like what the Vikings did with their deal. It may be one of those things that it becomes automatic. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but Eric Winston, the Player Association guy, and D. Smith, have already talked about starting to draw the battle lines. At least let the Super Bowl ink dry before you start doing that.
So Rick Haro, our sports business insider on the bench for over two decades, a legend. So IEG did a report on the spending of sponsors. I had Intuit on this show. You name it. They had McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Sleep Number, lots of big companies spending big money, Gatorade, all of them, Bose. What is the deal? It sounds like everybody's just lapping up the cash.
Lapping up the cash. But here's the important thing about that. These are not just NFL sponsorships. It's the 32 teams with individual spending. And it grew about 5% to $1.3 billion. So obviously, companies like Ticketmaster, 100% of the teams individually. Budweiser, Bud Light, 88% of the league through the teams. Gatorade, Microsoft, Bose had deals with over 70% of the league, and moving forward, Visa collaborates with the league to make all events cashless, including the Super Bowl. That means, listen to your listeners, listen up. That means everything is free in the stadiums from now. Oh no, just means you can't use cash. Sorry, never mind.
I'll say this though: how about the $5 beers at the Super Bowl? Not bad.
That was awesome. And Arthur Blank, God bless Arthur Blank, because he stuck to his guns. There was a lot of pressure to triple the prices of the hot dogs and the beer and say, yeah, that was for regular season. This is Super Bowl. He said, no, built the stadium, made the promise. The promise is going to stick with us.
I thought that was incredible. I almost fell over because every Super Bowl you go to, it's $16 to $20 for a beer. It was unbelievable. Tell me about Rise, the Ross Initiative.
Yeah. You know, Steve Ross put together a really good deal, and he had Paul Tagliabue and the new CEO, Diane Billings-Burford, at the King Center. I was lucky enough to be part of that, talking about racial inequality in a lot of different ways. He kind of went through the entire week spending money to make sure that, you know, every team and every league is on that board. And between that and the Players Coalition, we have $90 million spent by various challenges given to the players' causes. The Super Bowl was known for a lot of things, but it was also known this time as a kind of a platform for social justice, and it was really, really good thing for the week in Atlanta.
So Gainbridge, people may not know about, but they're going to be a huge sponsor for the Indy 500. They also are a huge sponsor for your Power of Sports show. Is that not correct?
Well, it's correct that the parent company is Power of Sports is a big deal with Group 1001. Gainbridge is one of the new consumer companies that's rolled out along with Relay, and it's been in existence for, you know, just a little over a year. Dan Towers, a good friend, has capitalized the company. Gainbridge starts by buying the month of May, NBC, and the presenting sponsor for the Indy 500 and otherwise. So I'm excited about going to the Indy 500 this year. You got to do that. You got to come back home to Indiana. Should we break out in song?
Yeah, I've been to 13 Indy 500s. I will say this. It's one of the great experiences one would have in their bucket list life of sports. If you ever wanted to go to something cool, I've done it 13 times. It's an amazing experience. So is the Daytona 500. That's almost here. February 17th, the Great American Race. But I like the story more, the one you're doing on gambling with NASCAR. If you gamble, if you bet on anything, apparently, in NASCAR, is this right? If you bet on anything, or is it just racing, that you'll get fined up to $200,000 if they catch you betting?
Well, the racing, certainly. And we'll see what happens with more than that. But the owners, drivers, new members, can't crew members can't gamble on events, meaning that all they could do relative to the race industry is do fantasy, and in that case, as long as it's prizes less than $250. So what they're trying to do really is react to what Dover did, which introduced at-track betting services, making it a lot easier for fans, because remember, Delaware is one of the states that's allowing it. And they're saying, yeah, but if you have anything to do with the race, we're worried about integrity of the sport, so yeah, you can't touch it.
Nobody bets on NASCAR races anyway. And betting on automobile races like the Indy 500 and Formula One and NASCAR, to me, is torturous. I mean, there's so many cars in the race, and making money is almost impossible. Major League Baseball, Nike, and Fanatics locked in a new 10-year global partnership. What's that about?
Yeah, well, they've got a footwear deal starting next season. Nike provides players with uniforms, wide assortment of on the road, at home, all 30 MLB clubs. Timing's perfect, by the way. It's not going to start till next year. But it's hard to believe that pitchers and catchers are basically right around the corner. It's time already. I just remember the Red Sox parade, the duck parade, and then the Patriots duck parade. Here we go again.
Are they really building a gondola for the new A's ballpark for 2023 that'll connect downtown Oakland to the stadium, and it carries like 35 people at a crack?
Well, they announced plans for it. It's going to be one of those novel funding ideas. It would cost $123 million. That's a lot of money to carry 35 people, but to go back and forth. And this is the latest franchise to consider this kind of thing. The Dodgers are considering a gondola from downtown L.A. to the stadium, and there are a lot of other teams that are looking to do that kind of thing, too. You know, in Europe where you have these parks, these entertainment parks, you have companies that are sponsoring these things, and then they become attractions of their own, even if the team's not playing. That's what they're looking at.
So let's go to the tech top stories. The sixth annual Super Bowl survey found a number of upward trends in gambling, esports, and a global push emerging around the Super Bowl. So that just tells me that everybody loves gambling, and everybody's starting to get into esports, particularly people financing those to make themselves rich.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. 67% of the millennials, according to the survey that was done, are more likely to bet on the Super Bowl over any other sporting event. We understand that. 58% said betting affects how long they'll watch. We also understand that as well. So esports evaluation, especially after Super Bowl week, over $1.5 billion, and half of the millennials consider watching an esport event associated with the Super Bowl. Big numbers, getting bigger.
Tell me real quick about Blue Wire. What are they doing with podcasting and sports?
Yeah, they're making a push to create a national platform. They got a couple of shows and even more. And what they're attempting is to get all the downloads focused on local and regional sporting events with national podcasts, kind of like what Barstool is doing.
And then back to the Super Bowl and the power of sports. The Dude and Carrie Bradshaw returned in an ad to raise money for water charity. And I saw something to do with the Big Lebowski in their strong effort.
Hey, I watched Big Lebowski again. I had a little time. What a great movie. I mean, that was like an all-time great
awesome
movie. The Dude. Yeah, he's back. And he raised a significant amount of money for charity all over Atlanta.
Carver High, does that the Big Lebowski crack the Carver High top 500 of all time?
I mean, I'm not the biggest fan.
Tell him I'm there, man, with the top 500. You know, watching it 15 years ago, but watching it again, you pick up on stuff you didn't see before. What a great movie.
So last but not least, the Panthers beat the Penguins in overtime this evening in Sunrise. What did you think of trading Bjugstad to the Penguins?
Yeah, you know, now we're dumping. So I don't know, man. That's okay. You remember last year we went to the game and there were about 30 people?
Yeah, and we would, like, didn't we yell things and we could hear it, like, echoing around the stadium?
Yeah, because you got me really lousy. So, oh, that was me getting you really lousy seats.
That's right.
It was one of the,
get some rest at home before you go off to your next adventure, and I'll talk to you possibly if I ever come back from the Caribbean.
All right, stay safe. Stay warm.
All right, see you. Bye.
Bye.
Rick Haro, ladies and gentlemen, tonight from his home in Florida. Usually he's on the road gallivanting around like Carver High. Don't forget, Carver High is going to have a bash on February 23rd at the Offside Tavern in downtown Manhattan. It's on 14th Street for the Islanders-Canucks game. He'll be doing his ILC podcast show live there. And he's also doing a tailgate party where he claims he won't be drinking when the company-sponsored free keg tailgate bash that they're throwing before the Islanders game with the Leafs, in which they're going to spew hate and venom and epithets at John Tavares all night and wish ill will upon him and his family. Don't forget, tomorrow, episode 142 of Pharrell on the Bets comes out at 6:30 Eastern, anywhere great podcasts are available. Check it out. I think you'll dig it if you like hitting games and making scratch, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.